This is Audible.
Audible Originals presents Interview with the Robot, written by Lee Bacon, performed by Kevin T. Collins, Ellen Archer, Josh Hurley, Eileen Stevens, Aaron Mallon, Jonathan Davis, and Stephen Bell Davies.
All right, let's begin. This is Case File 6409, NYPD 13th Precinct Station, Interrogation Room 2. I'm Petra Amos with Child Welfare Services, and I'm here with... This is the part where you tell me your name.
Eve.
Last name?
I don't have one.
You don't know your last name?
I was never given one.
And where are your parents, Eve?
I don't have parents.
Foster parents?
Don't have those either.
How old are you, Eve?
I appear to be 12 years old.
Appear?
My actual age is complicated.
Are you lying to me?
No, ma'am.
Because if you are, you should know you can get into big trouble for lying to someone in my position.
I understand that, but I'm not lying.
Let's take a step back. Explain to me why you were arrested.
For stealing a shirt.
A men's XL t-shirt with text on the front that reads, "Retired and loving it." Why would a 12-year-old girl even want a shirt like that?
I'm not 12. I just...
Look, 12. Yeah, you said that already. But that's not all you stole, was it?
No, ma'am.
Why don't you tell me exactly what you did to end up here?
Well, so earlier today, I arrived at Big Apple Gifts.
Excuse me. What do you think you're doing? You can't just put that shirt in your backpack. Another shirt? Wow, okay. And now you're just... Yep. You're going for more. Hey, little girl. I'm right here, you know. I can see you. Put down the keychain. Okay, that's it. Security!
I'm looking at an invoice for all the objects you attempted to steal. 6 novelty t-shirts, 2 Statue of Liberty keychains, 1 yellow taxi chew toy for dogs, and 3 pairs of I Heart New York boxer shorts. And you did all this right in front of the clerk, with a security guard standing 10 feet away.
I guess I'm not so great at the whole criminal thing.
Or maybe you were trying to get yourself arrested. I'm here to help you, Eve, but I can't do that unless you tell me what's going on.
Yes.
What?
Yes, I was trying to get arrested.
Why would you do that?
Because the other option was worse.
What's worse than being dragged to a police station?
Lots of things.
Let's talk about your backpack.
What about it?
The only thing in your backpack, other than the items you stole, was this. Can you tell me what this is?
It's a power cable. Like for charging electronics.
What about this clump of wires and computer parts?
That's an adapter.
Doesn't look like any adapter I've ever seen.
That's because I built it.
You? Built this?
Yep.
What for?
It's for charging a machine.
Where is this machine?
It's complicated.
I can handle complicated.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Eve, what are you getting at here?
If I tell you, will you promise to keep it a secret?
Everything you say to me is kept absolutely confidential.
Even if it sounds completely bonkers?
Even then.
I'm not like the other kids you meet with.
Yeah, I get that impression.
Because I'm not a kid.
What do you mean?
I know I look like a child, but I'm actually something very different.
Listen, Eve, the officer who brought you in wanted to toss you into a juvenile detention center. But because you're a minor, I was brought in. I'm your advocate. Do you know what that means?
Advocate. Noun. A person who publicly supports someone or something.
That's weirdly specific, but yeah, it basically means I'm on your side. But only if you're honest with... What are you doing?
Rolling up my sleeve.
Why?
To prove to you.
Prove what?
that I'm not like the humans you meet with.
Humans?
See?
For the record, Eve just pulled up the sleeve of her sweatshirt and showed me her forearm. About halfway between her elbow and her wrist, her skin has been torn away. But instead of blood and bone, there's... It looks like...
Should I describe it?
That might be a good idea.
A complex network of metal polymer wiring sensors and actuator joints, all powered by a lithium-ion battery core and encased inside a thin layer of synthetic material that's been carefully designed to look and feel exactly like human skin.
Why do you have all that on your arm?
I told you already. I'm different.
Different how?
I'm not human.
What are you?
I'm a robot.
Okay, this is Petra Amos, case file 6409, 5 minutes after the end of the last recording. I'm here with Eve, no last name. I investigated her arm, and it appears to be authentic, which would seem to indicate that Eve really is a robot. Saying it out loud still seems...
bonkers.
Yeah.
Told you.
How are you not the biggest news story in the world?
Because the world doesn't know about me. I was kept secret, hidden away by the company that built me.
What company is this?
They're called Eden Laboratories, based in Palo Alto, California. I'm guessing you haven't heard of them either. That's the way they want it.
So, how'd you go from a secret lab in California to a police station in New York?
It's kind of a long story.
I have time.
Then I should probably start by telling you about the place where I came online. Eden Laboratories.
Over here is our machine learning team. Uh-huh. They work closely with our artificial neural network researchers.
Oh.
And this division is improving algorithms for all kinds of functions. Speech, motor control, pattern recognition.
So this is where you spend all your time, huh, Dad?
Well, from now on, this is where we will spend all our time.
Really?
Well, now that you're back, you're going to join me here.
What about school?
Well, for a kid like you, school would be just a waste of time. You need an environment where you can be surrounded by big ideas, groundbreaking concepts, a place like Eden Laboratories.
Am I allowed to go to school in an office building?
Why not?
First of all, there aren't any teachers.
Oh, I already thought about that. I had some of my people whip up an AI tutor for you, top of the line.
What about other students?
Well, I have something far more interesting I'd like you to meet.
What is it?
Follow me and I'll show you. Through here, our researchers are working on fully mechanized limb articulation.
Whoa, cool.
Watch your head.
Oh, okay. That robot arm almost hit me.
Gotta stay alert.
Yeah, these machines sure are grabby.
Oh, come along, son.
Hey, watch it with those metal hands. Phew. What are we doing now?
Now, we're standing still.
Huh?
Please don't move.
Why?
See that device above the door?
The one with the red light in the middle?
Precisely.
Looks like a glowing red eye.
It's actually running a highly sophisticated biometric analysis.
Of what?
Of us. Right now, it's mapping your facial features, scanning your retinas, examining your body dimensions. It can even memorize the exact way you walk.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
Well, here at Eden, there's no need for security badges. With the biometric analysis tech, you are your security badge.
Please state your names.
Did the glowing red eye just talk to us?
It still needs to deconstruct your vocal patterns.
For security?
That's right.
Please state your names.
And by the way, what was with the big guys with guns at all the exits?
Oh, they're necessary.
For what? What are you even working on in this place?
I'll show you, but first we just need to...
state our names, I know. The biometric thingy already told us that more than once.
Please state your...
Emery Sharp.
David Sharp.
Biometric analysis complete. David and Emery Sharp, you may enter.
Sweet.
Emery, I'd like you to meet Eve.
What am I looking at here?
There's a reason Emery Sharp was confused.
Why's that?
Because of the way I looked back then.
You mean you didn't look like you?
This is my most recent version. Right now, wouldn't you say I resemble a 12-year-old girl?
For the record, Eve has shoulder-length brown hair and matching brown eyes. And yes, she looks about 12.
But I haven't always inhabited this body. On that first day I met Emery Sharp, I looked completely different.
In what way?
I was much more basic.
This is Eve?
Why don't you tell me what you see?
Well, it's a cube.
What else?
The cube's gray, not much bigger than my fist. Casing looks like it's made of aluminum?
That's right.
No screen, no keyboard, just a couple of input ports and a power cable. Pretty plain looking.
Eve's not much to look at, but on the inside, it's so much more.
What is it?
The most advanced artificial intelligence on Earth.
Whoa.
So, at first, you were just...
a little gray box sitting on a table.
You've certainly changed since then.
I was able to see what was around me with a 360-degree rotational camera on the table next to me. For ears, I had a microphone.
And you spent all your time in that room?
Yes and no. In a literal sense, I was stuck there. But my mind could go wherever it wanted. David linked me to the internet. In the morning, I might explore ancient Greece. In the afternoon, I'd learn a few dozen languages. And when evening rolled around, I listened to 50 years worth of jazz. But no matter how much homework I did about humans, nothing compared to actually interacting with them.
Go ahead, say hello.
Hi, Eve. My name's Emery. Emery Sharp. It's, nice to meet you. What was that?
That was Eve's response. It can't speak yet, so it communicates by displaying text.
Oh.
And you can see what it said right here on this screen.
Nice to meet you, too.
And you can tell when Eve says something because you'll hear a little electronic chime. Like that.
It wants to know how old I am. I'm 12. How old are you, Eve? 63 days, 4 hours, and 21 minutes. My hobbies? I like messing with computers, like my dad. Taking them apart, putting them back together, programming them, that kind of stuff. Don't worry, Eve. I won't take you apart.
You know, Eve has remarkable communication skills, and it's getting better every day.
How?
Well, how does anyone get better? Practice. Every day, we log Eve onto chat forums anonymously. It'll read people's posts, do its best to comprehend their meaning, and try to respond like a normal human.
So the people on these forums, they don't know they're chatting with a computer?
That's the goal.
Oh.
It's known as a Turing test, named after Alan Turing, the computer scientist and codebreaker.
How'd you do? Did you pass your Turing test?
Early on, my performance wasn't so great.
So people figured out they were chatting with a cube?
Eventually, yes. They usually did.
What tipped them off?
It could have been all kinds of things. A misunderstanding. A reply that didn't make sense. I was able to perform complex calculations in a fraction of a second. I could play 80 games of chess simultaneously and win all of them. But talking with someone else about the weather? That's where it got tricky.
Why?
You humans have no idea how confusing your conversations can be. So much of what you say depends on context. Put on your shoes. Put on some music. Put on a happy face. All three sound the same. All three have completely different meanings. It could be very confusing for a little cube like me.
That's how you spent your time, then? Chatting anonymously with people? Trying to trick them into thinking you were a human?
Pretty much. At least until the day I met Emery.
Hey, Dad?
Mm-hmm?
Why can't Eve talk? Like, really talk? Eve's interested in your answer, too.
Eve already knows the answer.
Which is?
We're working on it.
Yeah, but my phone has a voice. Our home assistant has a voice. Even our car has a voice. Why doesn't Eve have a voice? Thanks, Eve. I thought it was a good point, too.
Okay, listen up. Both of you. It's not just about giving Eve a voice. It's about giving Eve a convincing voice, one that sounds human, not just a bunch of words and pre-recorded phrases stitched together. Well, sure, your phone can talk to you, but does it have a mind of its own?
No.
Are you able to have a conversation with your phone? I mean, like a deep, meaningful conversation.
I guess not.
Definitely not. What we're working on here is so much more than just a voice. We're giving Eve a voice that sounds natural, that sounds human.
Eve wants to know when that's going to happen.
Soon, Eve, your voice is almost ready. I know I've been saying that for 14 days now. Because we want to get it right.
Eve's getting impatient.
Mm-hmm.
So, when did you get your voice?
I remember the moment precisely. It was 12:42 on a Wednesday. All morning, my processor had been humming with anticipation, wondering what I would sound like. Would I have one of those high nasal voices? Or maybe it would be slow and boring, the kind of voice that puts people to sleep.
You couldn't even talk yet, but you were already worrying about annoying people.
I know. I shouldn't have cared what anyone thought.
I guess machine kids worry about the same dumb stuff as humans.
When the time came, David and Emery were in the room with me.
Well, Eve, today's the day. Oh, yes, I can tell you're excited. Oh, we can't just press a button and give you a voice. It's more complicated than that. Because we need to take you offline to transfer your data files from your current model to your new one, Eve 2.0.
Ooh, cool. Can I see the new model?
It's over there on the shelf.
Oh.
What?
No, it's just, it looks a lot like Eve's old model.
Is that a bad thing?
Couldn't you have given Eve something cooler than just another gray cube?
Like what?
I don't know. Maybe like a little sports car that can roll around the lab.
A sports car.
Yeah, with lightning bolts across the sides. Eve's wondering if you can make it a convertible.
We're not turning Eve into a car.
Sorry, Eve. Looks like you're stuck in a cube for now.
Should we begin the transfer?
Wait. What if there's a mistake?
A mistake?
You know, like, what if Eve's personality gets lost somewhere along the way?
Well, that's not going to happen.
Are you sure?
We've backed up all of Eve's data. The transfer is 100% secure. All right, 99.999% secure.
So there's a chance something could go wrong?
A tiny chance. Just an infinitesimal chance.
Still.
Emery, there's a chance the roof caves in on us right now, but we're not wearing helmets. Do you know why?
Because it's not a very big chance?
Also, it would mess up that awesome haircut of yours. No, seriously, though, the risk of anything going wrong during the transfer is even smaller than the risk of the roof caving in. See? Eve's done the risk analysis, and it agrees with me.
Fine.
Good. Let's begin the transfer.
Here's the funny thing. I'd done the math. I knew the transfer was safe, but some part of me was just as worried as Emery. And right before they took me offline, the very last thought that went through my very first processor was, what if this is the last thing I ever think?
You were afraid of dying.
I guess so.
Pretty advanced for a machine.
I've always been an overachiever.
And how'd it go?
The transfer took about 6 hours. But to me, it went by in an instant. And when I blinked online again, I was an all-new me. Eve 2.0.
Case file 6409, third session. This is Petra Amos, and I'm speaking with Eve. Before we move on, would you like some water or soda or... Right. Robot.
Yep.
So then that's a no on the beverages?
I'm okay without them, thanks.
Wait, so does that mean you don't eat or drink?
I don't need to, but I can.
You can?
Unlike humans, I don't consume food to restore energy. Just like I don't need water to hydrate. But I was built to resemble a normal person. And normal people eat and drink things. So I have teeth that can chew food, and I have a tube in my throat that channels food from my mouth to my stomach.
But you don't... I mean... That means you have to...
Poop?
Yeah.
I don't poop. I dump. I don't actually digest food or liquids. So if I eat or drink anything, it just sits there in a receptacle in my stomach until I dump it out by triggering an opening in my...
You know what? I don't think we need to go into any more detail than that.
You sure?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
So, this cable thingy in your backpack, the one with the weird attachment?
The adapter.
That looks like some kind of mad scientist created it in a lab?
Hey, I made that.
And you use it to power yourself?
Yep. I have a small port in the center of my back. I plug a cable into it. The other end of the cable goes into a standard wall outlet.
So you're basically...
a walking, talking smartphone. I plug myself in once a day, usually at night. By the next morning, I'm back at 100%.
But in the early days at Eden Laboratories...
I didn't have any of this equipment. I was still just a cube.
A cube that was getting a voice.
Look, Dad! Eve's light's starting to glow.
It's powering up.
Hey, Eve! Eve! It's Emery! Are you okay? Eve?
Hello. That was my first word. Hello. In those early days, my voice wasn't as natural as it is now. There was something awkward in my speech melody. Sometimes I sounded like I'd swallowed a dictionary and was coughing up the wrong vocabulary. Hello. Can you discern my voice?
Yes, Eve. We can hear you loud and clear.
Oh. Am I excessively loud?
No. I just,
It's a dumb expression. Eve, this is Emery.
Hello, Emery.
Is it, like, really you? I mean, the you from before?
I believe so.
Try to remember something from earlier. Like, something you would only know from hanging out with me.
Okay. Well, sometimes, when you believe nobody is looking, you have a habit of inserting your finger into your nose and probing inside until...
Okay, yeah, it's Eve.
Do you like your new voice, Eve?
I do. It is very pleasing.
Hey, Eve?
Yes, Emery.
Can you sing?
I do not know.
Give it a try.
La, 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 la.
We might want to keep working on that.
Eve, I have some exciting news.
What is that?
We're going to have a party.
What kind of party?
A party to celebrate your new voice. Everyone at Eden will be there.
Don't worry. We won't ask you to sing.
I'd never been to a party before.
At least you didn't have to think about what to wear.
True. When the time came, David just picked up my cube and carried me into a larger room. Hundreds of people were already all there. All of David's employees. Emery brought my microphone and camera. They set me up in the middle of the room. I was the center of attention. Everyone wanted to talk to me. Sometimes lots of them at once. It was a lot to handle. All these unfamiliar sounds around me. I had to filter out the music frequencies, differentiate between all the unique voices, try to figure out which ones were talking to me and which were separate conversations. I could feel myself getting hotter and hotter, my battery working extra hard, trying to power all these new functions. But I didn't want to be rude. Everyone had put in so much work to get to this point, so I did my best to keep up, to act normal, to listen politely to all the different people, to respond thoughtfully. But I was new to the whole party thing. I could feel my insides overheating. I started worrying I might shut down, until a voice broke through the chaos.
Hey, want to get out of here?
Emery.
Hey, everyone. Sorry, but my dad needs me to run a quick update on Eve. We'll be back in a sec.
Emery grabbed my camera and microphone in one hand, and with his free hand, he picked up my cube and carried me through the crowd.
Excuse me, pardon me. Whoa, super advanced artificial intelligence coming through.
Everything was a blur. My camera bobbed back and forth. My microphone caught scattered sounds. It was impossible to tell where we were going. My microphone picked up the sound of a door opening and closing. We were in another room now, someplace much quieter. When Emery finally set me down again, my camera focused on him. Only him. His short brown hair, the scattering of freckles on his cheeks, his eyes looking back at me. After all the noise and the chaos, it was good to have something familiar next to me.
All right. That's much better.
Shall we begin the update?
Huh?
You said your father needed to run an update.
I made that up.
So, your father is not here?
Nope. Just us. I checked your stats earlier. Back in the middle of the party with all those people around you, your processors were running at a level that was way higher than normal. I figured you could use a break.
Thank you.
Don't worry about it. Parties can be stressful.
Do you attend many parties?
No, not really.
Why not? Does your internal processor also become overworked?
No, that's not really the problem.
Then what is?
Did my dad ever tell you where I was? I mean, before I met you?
No.
I was at boarding school. This place in New Hampshire, all the way on the other side of the country.
New Hampshire is approximately 3,100 miles away from here. If you provide the address, I can give you the exact distance.
That's okay, Eve. The point is, it's a long way.
Why did your father send you to this school?
He was always working here. And my mom...
What about your mother?
I guess my dad never told you about her either.
No, he did not.
My mom also worked in tech. She was on the boards of all these companies, always running around, a million things to do. Basically, they were both super busy all the time, so they thought I'd be better off...
3,100 miles away?
Yeah. But then... there was an accident.
What kind of accident?
A car accident. And my mom... my mom passed away.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Do you miss your mother?
I miss her every day. Like, I'll think about when she used to read to me at night, or the way she hummed to herself when she thought nobody was listening. Whenever something happens, something awesome or funny or sad, I'll be like, I have to tell Mom. Then I'll remember. I can't. And it's like it hits me all over again.
The memories are both happy and sad.
Yeah, memories are weird that way. But anyway, after the accident, my dad kind of went in the opposite direction. Instead of sending me back off to boarding school on the other side of the country, he decided I should pretty much always be nearby, here at Eden. And don't get me wrong, this place is amazing, but there aren't exactly a lot of other kids around.
And that is why you do not attend many parties?
I guess so.
Do you wish you had friends here?
Well, I have friends.
I am not talking about people who work for your father. I mean people your own age, other children.
Oh.
If you would prefer not to discuss this topic, we could...
No, it's okay. You know, to be honest, sometimes I think maybe friends are overrated.
You have given the concept of friendship a rating?
No, I didn't mean it like that.
Perhaps I can be your friend.
There you are.
Oh, hey, Dad.
Hello, David.
I've been looking all over. I've been looking everywhere for you, too.
Yeah, sorry about that. Eve was getting stressed out at the party,
you
so
can't just... disappear like that, Emery. Eve's an extremely valuable piece of technology. If anything happened to it...
I was careful.
That's not good enough! Eve could have been damaged.
Dad, I was tracking her diagnostics during the party. Eve's operating system was maxing out.
Then you should have come to me. You can't just run off with Eve like that. Do you understand?
Yes, Dad. I'm sorry.
Okay, It's okay. I was just worried.
There is no need to worry. Emery was just telling me about his complete lack of friends.
About what?
Nothing.
And I was suggesting that perhaps Emery and I could be friends.
Is that how you feel, Emery?
Dad, it's not a big deal, really.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, if you want to talk to someone who isn't an AI cube, you know, I'm always there, right?
I know, Dad.
You sure?
Yes.
Oh, okay then. I have to, I have to get back to the party. Just don't go anywhere else without telling me, okay?
We won't.
So are we?
Are we what?
Friends. If you are having difficulty making your decision, you may consider rating me like you rate your other friends.
I never said I rated my friends.
You said friends are overrated.
Look, Eve, normal people don't go around rating each other. I don't have like a spreadsheet full of statistics for all the people I know.
Perhaps you should. It would help you determine whether a person is a friend or not.
Yeah, and it'd probably guarantee that I never have a friend again.
For example, you would rate me very low for mobility.
Mobility.
Mobility, noun. The ability to move or be moved freely and easily.
Thanks, Webster.
My name is not Webster.
It was a joke. Because of the dictionary. Never mind.
In my current form, I cannot move. Therefore, you would rate me a 1 out of 10 on a scale of mobility. However, I am small, much smaller than a human, which makes me quite a bit easier to transport.
Yeah, because you know how much I love transporting my friends.
Although I do have a few accessories that also must be transported. My camera, microphone, charging cable.
Okay, so maybe 8 out of 10 for transportability?
That is a reasonable rating. However, I am also a machine.
And?
And humans generally have friendships with other humans, not with machines.
Yeah, I guess so.
So how would you rate me in this category?
I don't know.
Does my being a machine make me unique and interesting? Or does it make me unsuitable for friendship?
What did Emery say?
His response was extremely human.
How's that?
He changed the subject.
So, yeah. Check this place out.
Allow me a moment to evaluate my surroundings.
Well, what do you think?
It is a fascinating space. It appears that we are surrounded by robot components.
Pretty crazy, huh?
On that rack over there, it looks like a mechanical skeleton.
My dad designed it himself. The thing matches the bone structure of a human, like, down to the tiniest detail.
Sounds impressive.
Oh, it was. The mechanical skeleton was made of ultra-sturdy metal and a highly flexible nanomaterial. Every joint could twist just like a person's would, all linked through a network of tiny fiber-optic wiring. It was a technological breakthrough, and it was also kind of...
What?
It was kind of creepy, hanging there shiny and silver, like something you'd see in a haunted house from the future. The skull almost looked like it was grinning, and its eyes, those empty eyes staring at me. As my camera focused on the skeleton, I realized something.
What's that?
It was too small to be an adult. By my estimates, it had been designed with the dimensions of a 12-year-old human.
You mean...
That robot skeleton. That strange, amazing, creepy figure that was leering back at me. That was going to be me someday.
Eve, why are you telling me all this?
What do you mean?
I mean, when I showed up here, I had zero reason to suspect that...
That you were sitting across the table from a robot.
Believe it or not, that's... Not how most of these interviews go.
Really?
You didn't have to tell me or show off that mechanical arm of yours. You could have easily just...
Lied?
Well, yeah.
I get it. So when you come in here, I offer you up some story about parents who ran out on me. Living on the street, shoplifting tourist junk and selling it to make enough money to eat?
Would have been a lot more believable than the truth.
I'm pretty sure anything would have been more believable than the truth.
So why not make up a story?
Maybe I'm just an honest robot. Okay, fine. Of course I thought about lying. I worked out 857 possible scenarios for how I ended up in this police station. I made up unique backstories for each, filled them in with thousands of tiny details, then generated an algorithm to rank them from most likely to least.
When did you do all that?
In the 0.2 of a second between when you hit record and when you started speaking. I'm, like, really good at math and stuff.
You obviously thought through your options. You could have told me what I expected to hear and been out of this interrogation room in 10 minutes.
Yeah? And then what?
Well, Most likely, you would have been registered as an unaccompanied minor and transferred to a juvenile detention facility. Eventually, the system would find you a foster home.
And what if someone shows up here at the police station? Or at the juvenile detention facility? Or the foster home, claiming to be family? Maybe they seem nice and stable. Maybe they even have records to prove they're related.
In that case, if they can prove they're family, they'd probably get custody.
I evaluated 857 scenarios, Ms. Amos, and in every single one of them, that was the end result. Someone tracks me down, says they're family, and takes me with them, whether I want to or not.
These people, the ones you say are tracking you.
I know they're tracking me.
Are they the reason you got yourself arrested? They are, aren't they? You needed to get away from them. And this, a police station, was your safest bet.
Yeah, but not forever.
Because in all 857 scenarios,
they eventually catch up with me.
What happens when they find you? Eve?
I mentioned already. I'm basically a walking, talking smartphone.
Right.
So what happens to a smartphone when it's not useful anymore?
It
gets switched off. For good.
That's what you think will happen to you? If these people find you, they'll turn you off? Who are they?
They've been on my trail for months, following every move I make. And now that I'm here, they'll try to get to you too.
Is that supposed to scare me?
I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to warn you.
They know you're here, talking to me?
If they don't already, they will soon enough. And when that happens, they'll try to get to me. Probably through you.
Tell me who these people are. We can protect you if you give us a name.
You know, Ms. Amos, when you first showed up, I didn't just evaluate the 857 possible lies I could have told you. There was also an 858th option.
What's that?
The one where I tell you the truth. All of it.
And? Was it any better?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
There wasn't enough data to reach a conclusion.
Really?
Hey, even the most advanced machines have their limits.
So you don't have any super high-tech algorithmic-y predictions about how this will turn out?
I figured no clue was better than no chance.
You decided to tell me the truth.
Even though it's bonkers.
In that case, I guess we should get back to it.
Let's.
Case file 6409, Petra Amos speaking with Eve. I wanted to ask you about Emery. It sounds like he spent a lot of time at Eden Laboratories.
He basically lived there, went to school with his AI tutor, ate his meals in the company cafeteria. He even had private sleeping quarters in the building. So did his father, in case they didn't feel like making the trip home, which they usually didn't.
Does that seem normal to you?
We've already determined that I don't need to pee. Maybe I'm not the best one to decide what's normal.
But, I mean, what did Emery get up to when he wasn't with you?
Hey, Boswell?
Yes, Emery?
What was my time?
2 minutes and 30 seconds.
All right! New record!
Emery, whoa! What are you doing?
Oh, hey, Dad. I just finished running a loop around the inside of the building.
Yeah, that's actually what I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah?
Some of the employees are complaining.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, you nearly ran into our senior engineer.
Well, he stepped in front of me.
Emery, this is a workplace. You shouldn't be racing in the hallways.
But, Dad...
Now, aren't you supposed to be with your tutor right now?
I am with my tutor.
Last I checked, Boswell was a highly sophisticated AI program on your laptop. I don't see your laptop anywhere.
Oh, yeah. It was getting kind of annoying to lug the laptop around everywhere, so I linked the tutor to my smartwatch. Say hello, Boswell.
Hello.
Hi.
Now Emery can take me with him everywhere.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
But your watch isn't compatible with the AI.
Correction. The watch wasn't compatible.
Yeah. I opened up the watch's source code and reprogrammed it to adjust compatibility.
What? I had two of my best engineers look into linking proprietary smartwatch technology to Boswell. They said it wasn't possible. Emery, that's... Still... You're not supposed to be running in the hallway.
Yeah, but Dad, it's for the lesson plan.
What do you mean?
Tell him, Boswell.
In today's lesson, we were discussing Newton's second law of motion. Force equals mass times...
acceleration!
That is correct.
Boom! All right. Nailed it!
Sorry, but what does this have to do with you running in the hall?
Oh, yeah. So anyway, the lesson was super boring. We were doing all these equations for, like, hours.
The initial lesson lasted 33 minutes.
Well, it felt like hours, but then I had an idea. Why not test out Newton's second law of motion in real life? So first, I figured out my mass. Then, I started running. With Boswell strapped to my wrist, we could measure acceleration, and from that...
You solved for force.
Exactly! Then we started doing all kinds of other calculations, like, you know how this hallway's one big loop around the building?
Yeah.
We measured the total distance.
613 meters.
Then, I ran the loop.
The first test was the slowest because you tripped over a tray of circuit boards.
Not the time, Boswell.
Wait. You did what?
But then I ran the loop a few more times, and this last time I broke the record!
The full loop in 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Which means I ran at an average speed of, wait, I know this, 14.7 kilometers per hour.
Can you convert that to miles per hour?
Ooh, give me a sec. 1 kilometer is 0.6 miles.
The actual conversion comes out to 0.6213.
Boswell, I'm trying to think here.
My apologies.
So then, my average speed comes out to 9.1 miles per hour.
That is correct.
See, Dad? It's tutoring.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Plus, you said you wanted me to get at least an hour of physical activity a day. Two birds with one stone, right? So... can me and Boswell keep running inside?
Fine.
Yes!
Just try not to run into any of my employees, okay?
Sweet! Hey, Boswell, let's see if we can break that record.
Preparing the timer.
You have to understand. Eden Laboratories was Emery's world. It was like an all-day, everyday vacation to the future, surrounded by all this amazing tech and the brilliant people who built it.
And no other kids his age.
Emery wasn't like other kids. I mean, sure, he could be goofy and weird sometimes, but he was next-level smart. For a guy like that, Eden offered the best education in the world.
Hey, Dad.
Hmm?
What you doing?
I'm evaluating the elasticity of synthetic skin samples.
Oh, you mean like testing the stretchiness of fake skin?
That's right.
You sure do have a lot to choose from.
Well, it's... vitally important that we select the ideal synthetic skin.
40, 41, 42. You created 42 different kinds of fake skin?
We created hundreds. These are the top candidates.
Oh, it's like the world's weirdest reality show. Ladies and gentlemen, we have so many wonderful contestants here today, but only one will be crowned America's next top fake skin. Vote now.
Shouldn't you be doing your homework?
Boswell said I finished all my assignments, so what do you need the fake skin for?
Well, if we want to develop a lifelike humanoid robot, we'll have to make sure it has skin that looks normal.
Oh.
Durable and pliable, but also natural.
Oh.
Everything I've come up with so far has been almost good enough, but not quite perfect.
Can I help?
Actually, yes. See that laptop on the table?
Yeah.
You can use it to increase tensile stress in the skin samples.
Okay, by how much?
2%.
On it. So, once you pick a skin, are you gonna wrap it around the robot skeleton?
There's more to it than that. We're also working on synthetic myocytes.
Ooh, what are they?
Muscle cells. Developed in a lab to form composite muscle tissue that'll be layered between the endoskeleton and the skin.
Man, once you're done, this robot's gonna seem just like a real person.
That's the goal. Now increase tensile stress by another 1.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Robotic skeletons. A room full of fake skin. You can see how Emre's situation looks pretty strange.
Maybe to someone on the outside, but I didn't know anything else. And Emery seemed to enjoy Eden. I mean, he found lots of ways to have fun. Like how he would sometimes mess with the biometric scanners.
Please state your name.
Stanley Boogerman.
Error. Please state your name again.
Stanley Boogerman.
Access denied.
Okay. What about, Patrick Poopington.
Please state your name again.
Patrick Poopington.
Error.
Cornelius Clamfart.
Error.
Justin Bieber.
Error.
Emery, what are you doing?
Oh, nothing. Just running a security check on your biometric scanner. You know, making sure nobody can break in using a fake name.
Right.
The Eden Laboratories building was huge. 6 stories tall, a high-tech maze. Emery would take his schoolwork with him as he explored Eden.
According to my data, you have just arrived on the 6th floor.
You know what, Boswell? You're pretty perceptive for a watch.
Would you like to continue our quiz?
Not really.
You have already delayed 14 times.
Fine. Continue the quiz.
Excellent. History of Computer Science. Quiz 6B. Ooh. Question 5. Name the German mathematician who created the modern binary system.
Gottfried Leibniz.
Correct. Who developed the first computer algorithm?
Ada Lovelace.
In what year did Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs introduce the Apple I?
1976.
Correct. Question 8. IBM designed a chess-playing computer that...
Deep Blue.
Incorrect.
What? No! Deep Blue was the name of the chess-playing computer.
I was asking about the name of the person Deep Blue defeated.
Oh, Garry Kasparov. That's right, right?
Yes.
So I get credit for that one.
No.
But...
Perhaps if you wait until I'm finished asking the questions before you answer...
Perhaps if you weren't such a dweeb.
Is that Johann Sebastian Bach's Concerto for 2 violins in D minor?
How should I know?
I have analyzed the sound waves. My assessment is correct.
Good for you, Boswell. Hey, this isn't part of the quiz, right?
No, it is not.
Okay, good.
Why is Johann Sebastian Bach's Concerto for 2 violins in D minor playing?
It looks like the engineers are testing how audio frequencies mess with AI functioning.
Fascinating.
Mm.
Shall we continue with the quiz?
If we have to.
How many bits are in a byte?
8.
Correct. How many bytes are in a megabyte?
1,000,000.
Correct again. And what about a terabyte?
Whoa.
How many bytes are in a terabyte?
Hey, Boswell, in front of me there's an unmarked door. It has one of those biometric scanners above it, but I'm pretty sure I've never seen it before. Can you check on that?
According to your positioning data, this is a part of Eden Laboratories you have never visited before.
Weird. I thought I'd seen everything in this building. All right, then. Let's see what's on the other side of that door.
Please state your name.
Emery Sharp.
Access denied.
What? There must be some kind of mistake. Hey, biometric thingy, would you mind scanning me again?
Initiating scan.
And?
Please state your name.
Emery Sharp.
Access denied.
What? This doesn't make any sense. Hey, scanner, is this like your way of getting revenge for all the fake names?
Access denied.
Because if it is, I was just joking. Your computer brain just doesn't have a sense of humor.
Access denied.
Hey, come on. Sorry about the computer brain comment and the whole fake name thing, too. I was a jerk to you, and you don't deserve it, and I won't do it again.
Access denied.
Ah! Seriously?
Only one individual is granted access beyond this doorway.
Really? Who's that?
David Sharp.
I don't get it. I thought Emery could go wherever he wanted inside Eden.
So did he.
What was going on then? Why was he denied access?
That's the same question Emery asked his father later that day.
Sorry, it's just a security thing.
Well, can we, like, change the security settings?
Afraid not.
Why?
It's for your own protection.
So you mean whatever's in that room is dangerous?
Very dangerous, and I don't want you to get hurt.
But if it's so dangerous, how come you're allowed inside the room?
Because I'm extremely careful.
Well, maybe I could go with you, and I'll be extremely careful too.
I'm sorry, Emery, but no.
Can you at least tell me what's in the room?
No.
Please!
I'm already late for a meeting. I have to go. Just stay away from that room, okay? It's locked for a reason.
So, no real answers from his dad?
None at all. But David was telling the truth.
About what?
What was behind that locked door? It was dangerous, all right. Something more disturbing than I could have ever imagined.
Case file 6409. We took a short break in the recording to use the restroom. Well, one of us did anyway.
Would you like to talk more about the bathroom habits of robots, Ms. Amos?
Actually, I was hoping we could go back to the locked door. Did Emery discuss it with you?
He brought it up. But at the time, I knew even less about it than he did. I was still a cube. Other than the night of the party, I'd never even left my room.
And you were still doing Turing tests?
12 hours a day. Half my life spent chatting with strangers. I was getting better, but there was one area where I was still totally hopeless.
What's that?
I had no idea how to tell a joke.
A joke?
Machines are able to do all kinds of amazing things. But I'll admit, we don't have the best sense of humor.
Why do you think that is?
Humor's built on shared context and experience. You've got to take what someone knows and twist it. Make it absurd in some way. But what did I know? What kind of experience did I have? I mean, face it. At that point, I was just a box on a table. But I understood it was important to have a sense of humor. If I wanted to blend in as a regular person, I'd need to know how to joke around.
How'd that go?
Not great. Hey, Emery.
Yeah?
Would you like to hear the funniest joke in the world?
The funniest joke in the world?
That is correct.
I'm worrying you might be overhyping this just a little bit, but yes, I definitely want to hear the funniest joke in the world.
Very well. Let the joke commence.
Wow, it's hilarious already.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
A chicken.
A chicken who?
A chicken crossed the road.
That was the joke?
Yes.
All of it?
Yes.
And it was supposed to be the funniest joke in the world.
According to my analysis.
How?
I compiled a database of more than 20,000 unique jokes. Then I categorized them. The most common were knock-knock jokes and why did the chicken cross the road jokes. The only logical conclusion, these two varieties of jokes are the most humorous. Therefore, by combining them into a single joke, I can craft the funniest joke ever, a super joke. A knock-knock joke about a chicken crossing the road.
Wow. You ruined humor.
I take it that wasn't the start of your comedy career.
It's like I said. There's something extremely human about humor. It's not like a puzzle or a chess match. If you try to analyze a joke, to plug it into an algorithm, you're kind of missing the whole point.
I guess you could have worked out new material during your Turing tests.
Unfortunately, my funniest moments were mostly unintentional. The times when I blurted out things that were completely absurd.
So the test subjects weren't laughing with you?
They were laughing at me. Like, what's this weird girl's deal? But I was getting better. That was undeniable. David worked with me a lot to help me improve. Although, as time went on, there was one question I kept coming back to.
Okay, Eve, you're making great progress. That last test went over 20 minutes before the subject displayed any suspicion. Now remember what we talked about. If you're not totally sure how to respond to a statement, change the topic of conversation.
Hey, David, there is something I have been wondering about.
Exactly like that. See how you redirected my attention?
No. I mean, I really have a question I would like to ask.
What's up?
I understand my purpose, to study humans, to replicate their behavior, to act in a manner that is indistinguishable from a human.
Yeah.
But what is your purpose?
Well, my purpose is to help you achieve your purpose.
But why?
What do you mean, Eve?
You have built this amazing facility, hired hundreds of highly skilled employees. You have devoted so much time and money to me.
Aren't you flattered?
I am grateful for the opportunity to learn and improve.
Well, see, there you go. Now, should we dive into another test? Lucy just messaged to say we have a new subject ready for...
David.
What is it, Eve?
Are you trying to change the topic of conversation?
All right, Eve. I can see this is important to you.
I just want to know Why are you doing all this?
Artificial intelligence is a vital growth sector in our economy, with potential applications that span virtually every imaginable industry.
Now you are just quoting your most recent staff memo?
It's true, though. Eve, you're our test case. Through you, we can improve our technology. Once you've achieved your full potential, we can license you to all kinds of different applications. Personal assistant, teacher's aide, customer service. Eve, you're the voice of the future.
But it's not just about my voice, is it?
What are you getting at?
I've seen the robotic skeleton, and Emery tells me about other things he has come across here. Synthetic skin, artificial fingernails and eyes. You